Hello, and welcome to Power Talk with Linda Ballesteros, brought to you live from the Virtual Tone Studios by Tough Talk Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Linda Ballesteros.
Good morning, everyone. I guess I'm not awake yet this morning, but my show is Power Talk with Linda Ballesteros. And I'm Linda Ballesteros, and I'm here in Spring, Texas, just outside of Houston, where temperatures are going to be in triple digits again today. So everybody grab an iced coffee. We've converted from hot coffee to iced coffee down here. And because my guest is an incredible woman, and you're going to definitely want to hear her story. Judy Blake is my guest today, and she is bringing with her her story, and I believe that you're going to be captivated by that. She's just recently written a book, and we're going to hear more about that. But I did want to just briefly say, if you have any questions or if you want to touch base with Judy, be sure to call in. The number is 347-989-1363, and you'll just press 1 to get into the queue to ask questions. So we're going to bring Judy on the line and get started because I can't wait another minute. So, Judy, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Judy. I hope you have your AC set pretty low today because it's going to be a hot, hot day.
It is, and I just dread getting my electricity bill. That's the only trouble. But, yes, it's at 71, sometimes 70.
Wow.
So, yes. But that's good. Everyone says it's cold, but it's fine for me, and that's okay.
Well, you know, sometimes we need it just a little bit cooler to cool the brain down just a bit so we can continue to think.
Yes, that's right. But my kids have actually gotten used to it, so now when they go into other people's homes, they're like, it's warm in here. And they're like, no, it's just normal, and you don't know the difference.
How funny.
You know, how you set up with your kids, you know, they think it's like that everywhere.
That's right. So, well, Judy, I'd love for you to share a little bit about yourself. You and I met probably 6 months or so ago, maybe a little bit longer.
I had the pleasure, yes.
And at a networking event, and I was just really thrilled to meet you. And we've networked several times since then, and each time I learned just a little bit more about you. So I'm excited to hear more, and I'd love for you to share with our listeners this morning. What brings you here today? What's your story?
Well, thank you, and thank you so much for having me. And it's interesting because you and I are two peas in a pod. You know, we talk about connecting and having connections with people. And from the second I met you and you handed me your card, there was that connection. And you just have such an air about you of making someone feel comfortable and inviting and warm, and I applaud you for that. I really do. And what I do, a number of things, but the reason I'm on the show today and honored to be on the show is I live in Houston. I'm the single parent. I've been divorced for about 12 years. I have two boys who are now 20 and 16. They both have hidden disabilities. And by hidden disabilities, what I mean is something that is not apparent to the human eye. They have autism, obsessive compulsive disorder, anxiety, and my oldest is also ADD and is bipolar. What I try to do is, just like you try to connect with your listeners and different people that you meet at networking events, I try to connect with people as well, but in a different way. I am very, very, very wanting to help families whenever possible about issues with their children, their grandchildren, their nieces, nephews, whoever you run into. And it is so important to me to want to help people and to raise awareness and compassion so that we are tolerant of people who are different than us.
You know, Judy, it seems as though just in the last, 5 years, certainly, we have learned more about some of these disabilities, and
yes.
It's becoming to the more to the forefront, if you will, and
yes.
It's not hidden as much. I know that when you talk about it, hidden disabilities, you're saying mm-hmm. you're saying just looking at someone,
right?
You can't necessarily determine that there is a disability. So would you
mm-hmm.
agree with that? You know, we're becoming a little more open about
that. It's interesting. I think that we are, but you and I, we live in a big city. I mean, granted, you're in Spring, but for all intents and purposes, you're in Houston.
Houston.
I have a friend of mine who's in West Texas, and they're about 10 years behind.
Oh.
So if you live in a large city, I have a girlfriend of mine in Boston. I have some in, all over, just like you do, St. Louis, Florida, L.A., but some of these, we would consider, smaller areas, they're way, way behind.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, certain things are more in the forefront. Everybody now may say, oh, sure, I know what autism is. But when you try to identify someone as having it and how does it manifest itself, that's when the problem begins.
Sure,
my youngest
sure.
child paces back and forth. He stems. They call it self-stimulation, stemming for short. And what that means is he flaps his hands.
Mm-hmm.
So does somebody who may say, oh, I know what autism is. It was just on the cover of Time magazine or something like that, or Newsweek or one
right.
of those magazines. And I'm thrilled. Every time there's a huge article like that, believe me, I'm elated because it makes my job easier. But they don't then put two and two together and say, oh, that child is pacing, he might have anxiety. Or that child's flapping his hands, maybe that's self-stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, what comes to mind is, that kid looks too big to be getting up out of his chair in a restaurant. Why isn't that parent doing a better job?
Oh, sure.
Parenting that child, or why is that child misbehaving? I mean, my child is probably 5'5", 5'6". He's 16
mm-hmm.
years old.
Mm-hmm.
And to the average person, that's inappropriate behavior for a child that age.
Mm-hmm.
What I try to do through my book and through my speeches, because I speak to audiences of all ages, is raise that awareness, raise that tolerance level. I think that as a society, if we see someone, with a cane, in a wheelchair, some type of adaptive device, a seeing eye dog, there's this automatic empathy, and there should be. We should be compassionate. Not pity someone, don't patronize them, but be compassionate and tolerant.
Mm-hmm.
But the trouble is, certain people, they look just like you and me. Especially my older son. He's in college. He looks just like any other average 20-year-old. But sometimes as you start talking to him and you see that lack of eye contact, then someone thinks, oh, well, God, he's not even looking at me when he's talking to me. He must not be interested.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm talking to him and he hardly looks at me. God, that's being rude. Because it's
mm-hmm.
very important when you engage in conversation with people to maintain eye contact.
Sure, sure. Judy, when your boys were young,
mm-hmm.
for parents with young children, what are some of the things, I know you've mentioned several things in conversation now, but what should they be looking for? Is there a way to diagnose this? How young were your boys when you were finally given that diagnosis?
You know, that's a great question, and I'm asked that a lot. 16 years ago, when Jason was diagnosed, we didn't know much. I mean, people thought, autism was maybe one in, 500 kids. Now they're saying one. I think the latest statistic I heard was one in 110 children. And I felt something wasn't right. You know, I think that if you don't have your head in the sand, a mother knows or a father knows. It depends how much you keep your eyes open. Mm-hmm. And my oldest son, Jason, he was missing the milestones. You know, the crawling, the standing up, the walking around the furniture, the first word utterances and things like that.
How old was
Judy?
How old?
Well, he was, you know, a year, 18 months old. And, you know, the pediatricians would say, and I went to great pediatricians. I was living in Detroit at the time. So I was not in, you know, small town anywhere. I was in a big city. But we didn't know as much then. And he was missing the milestones, but would eventually catch up. So, you know, generally kids start walking at about, you know, maybe 12 months old, 15 months old. Well, mine didn't start walking until about 22 months old. Mm. But then he would eventually get there. And I had him tested when, after Detroit, I moved to Northern Illinois, and I had him tested. And I was told, oh, he has a fine motor delay and maybe a mild speech delay. So I got him speech therapy, and, you know, we did all sorts of things to improve his fine motor skills. And then we moved down here to Houston. This was 16 years ago. And he went to a preschool. And by the parent-teacher conference that they have in October and November, they're like, something is not right with your child. We don't know what it is. We don't mean to hurt your feelings. We don't mean to offend you. I'm like, no, no, please tell me. I want to know. I went to a developmental pediatrician. And a few months later, because, you know, it takes forever sometimes to get into specialists, he was 4.5 when he was diagnosed. And the diagnosis was what they call PDD, NOS, Pervasive Developmental Disorder, Not Otherwise Specified. Mm. You know, people have different terms for autism. Some call it autism. Some call it PDD, NOS. Some people call it high-functioning autism. Some people call it Asperger's.
Right.
Call it what you want. It's what is being done to help the child develop the compensatory skills they can to cope. Mm-hmm. And that's when my world turned upside down, because I was like, PDD? Like autism? And the first thought that comes to many minds is Rain Man and Dustin Hoffman.
Sure.
And I'm like, well, my child doesn't like talk like that, or my child, you know, he functions, you know, at a higher level. Well, it's a spectrum disorder. And where did your child...
What does that mean? What does that mean, Judy?
A spectrum disorder means, where does the person fall? Is it mild to moderate to severe?
Okay.
And where do they fall on the spectrum?
I see.
It can... No two people with autism are alike. They may have very similar qualities, lack of eye contact. Sometimes they kind of talk like a computer. They tend to be interested in odd subjects. But there's no two exactly alike. So how do you know if your child or the adult is really mild, moderate, or severe? You know, it's kind of hard to say. It's in some ways pure conjecture on the diagnostician's part, because no one's going to get all of the autistic people in the world in one room to know, okay, you're mild, you're moderate, you're severe.
Right. Sure.
So
sure.
We put Jason in a special school and occupational therapy and speech therapy twice a week. I don't have to begin to tell you the financial ramifications of that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is your child, and you would go to the ends of the earth to get him or her the help that they need.
Mm-hmm.
So we had him in a special school, and at that time, Ryan was about 6 to 9 months old. And I could tell something wasn't right. This time, I was so much smarter. I knew exactly what to look for. And when he turned a year old, and I called the same doctor again, and I made an appointment, and I filled out all the same forms, and I had my follow-up appointment, and he's asking me certain questions and everything. And I'm answering, and he's nodding his head. And then I just said, you're going to tell me that Ryan is autistic also, aren't you?
Wow.
And he looked at me, and he said, I'm so sorry. and tears just streamed down my face.
Oh, goodness.
And he was a year old, but again, I wanted to know. I'm a very, very realistic person. I've got the compassion of 20 people, but I'm very realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a tough pill to swallow, but I would rather know, because early intervention is critical.
Right, right. Well, Judy, let's take a few minutes. I'm going to break for a commercial. And when we come back, let's talk about how you now cope, help your sons to have the fullest life that they can, where you go from here. And so let's just break real quick, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a small business owner who is overwhelmed? Does your business have strategies and policies in place to ensure stability? How do you keep track of your employees? Building and maintaining a proper human resource system is very necessary in order to avoid disputes and problems in the long run. Running your own business does not have to feel like a juggling act. TWG Business Services gives you the solutions to streamline your business, allowing you to focus on what you do best, running and growing your business. Contact us today for your free online listing and business analysis. Go to www.twgbusinessservices.com or give us a call at 281-392-2098.
Ask yourself, are you achieving the results you really want from your networking? Would you benefit from learning a systemized approach to your networking? BizPAC and Defining Women Networks are dedicated to providing professionals and small business owners with networking solutions for today's marketplace. BizPAC Networks is where we connect B2B, business-to-business professionals, in business. Defining Women Network is where we connect amazing women in business and in life. We invite you to build strategic alliances that will produce consistent leads and referrals. It's time for you to be defined and lead the pack. For more information, check out our website at www.bizpacknetworks.biz.
Welcome back to Power Talk with Linda Ballesteros. My guest today is Judy Blake. I want to let you know, if you have any questions for Judy, please feel free to give her a call and ask questions on the show today, 347-989-1363. Press 1 to get into the queue. Or you can message me on Facebook. I'm up on Facebook, so you can instant message me on Facebook with any questions for Judy as well. Before we get back with Judy, I want to just run down a few things that are coming up this week. We have Sharon Jenkins, who is the master communicator, has a radio show, Let's Talk About It, on Mondays from 11 to 12. Tony Harris has Tony Harris Speaks Success. Her show is on Fridays from 9 to 10. And we all know and love Tony Gambone with Tough Talk with Tony, Monday, Wednesday, Fridays from 3 until 4. These are all Central Time, of course. Sandy Lawrence, who is vacationing right now, will be having a marketing boot camp, and that is September 9th, 16th, 23rd, and 30th from 11 to 1. You can get more information about her boot camp on perceptivemarketing.com or just give her a call at 281-807-1300. So we are back with Judy Blake, and she was just talking about how she was told the diagnosis that her sons were autistic. And so, Judy, at that point, you have two sons, one that is about 4, and the other was maybe about a year old.
Correct.
So you've got a 4 or 5-year-old and a 1-year-old, and they both are autistic. I can't imagine what your day must have looked like running after these two probably very high-energy little boys and with the challenge of them also being autistic. So how did you as a mother get through that?
You know, it's interesting. In some ways, it's kind of a blur. And in other ways, you know, you just go into overdrive. it was just the hand I had been dealt. And, of course, it was very, very overwhelming because before I had one and now there were two. But, again, as a parent, you just, you find the best school that you believe will work for your child. You find the best occupational therapist, speech therapist. You do whatever you can. And, of course, there was disappointment. Not disappointment that my children weren't what I envisioned, because I love them. I couldn't love my children anymore. I just wanted to help them so much and to do what I could. And I was very driven in my mission to do that. My family was supportive. My friends were wonderful, and they tried to be supportive. But it was hard to relate because their children were on a completely different path than mine were. Different
right.
schools, different interests. So I was thrown into having to find new schools, new friends for my kids, because clearly the ones that my older one had, I mean, for my younger one it was different, he was a year old, but for my older one, we really had to shift because the other kids outgrew him very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very hard to explain to 4 or 5 year olds, well, Jason does this because, and try to understand. Well, they're 5 years old. They don't want to understand.
Sure.
You know, they want to be with boys, kid girls who are like them.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a major shift to try to find other groups of kids for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I will not sugarcoat it. It was very, very hard. And there were days when I thought, okay, how am I going to do this? How am I going to cope? How is this going to all get done? But somehow it does. Being organized really helps.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very organized person. And I had a schedule, and I would work with Jason at home when Ryan was napping because I didn't want to deprive Ryan of my time or any help that he needed. So when Ryan would take a nap, I would then work with Ryan, Jason, on reading type skills and storybooks and physical therapy and occupational therapy and gross motor skills and just all sorts of things. So we would do that, and I made it fun so that I could engage him for a couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow it all got done.
Mm-hmm.
Do you wonder sometimes, or do I wonder,
yeah.
oh, could I have done things differently? You know, Linda, as parents, I think we all wonder that.
We all do. Absolutely, Judy. You're exactly right.
You know,
now,
and that's just part of being human.
Absolutely, it is. Now, did the boys go through the school system here in Houston? Were they in school, public school?
When they were younger, Jason, again, being, you know, 4 and a half when he was diagnosed, I sent him to private schools for the first few years because I had just moved to Houston. And while I was familiar with the school district, and I'm within HISD, he did receive speech therapy, but at that time, the Houston Independent School District did not have a program for high-functioning autistic kids.
Okay.
And again, because it's a spectrum disorder, you've got kids who are lower functioning, kids who are in the middle, and kids like mine who are verbal and can do things. So, you know, you want your kid to be all you can be and to have role models. At that time, HISD did not have a program. So we put him in one private school, and then that program was good for a year, and then we found another program that I felt was best for a year, and then another program, and then that fourth year, when he was in second grade, I was approached by HISD because they were launching a self-contained class for high-functioning autistic kids, actually at my zoned school.
Oh.
I thought my prayers were answered, and it was wonderful. It was an amazing class with an amazing teacher, with amazing teachers, and I really applaud HISD for doing that because it was a huge investment. A lot of work went into piloting this program, and I was thrilled that they had it. for Ryan, because he was younger, they have what they call PPCD, which stands for Preschool Program for Children with Disabilities. They have half-day programs. So he would do the half-day program, and then he would go to, when he was 18 months old, or excuse me, 2 years old, then he went to a morning program that was private. So we went to a morning program and then an afternoon program, which was a lot for a two-year-old. But he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they also have what they call ECI, which is called Early Childhood Intervention. I had someone work on cognitive skills, occupational therapy, and speech therapy in the home. So I had people come to my home once a week when he was young until he was eligible for the school program.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wonderful. These people came, and they were a huge support to me and a huge support to Ryan. And they worked with him, and they gave me suggestions on what I could do.
Well, very. It's amazing how we've come so far. And,
we definitely have. And I think it really puts your mind in perspective. I mean, you know, everything is relative, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And some parents are thrilled, you know, when their child gets an A. Some parents expect their child to get an A.
Mm-hmm.
I was thrilled that my child could be mainstreamed for one class.
Very good, yeah.
You know, and to integrate himself into a regular ed class.
Absolutely.
Versus a self-contained class.
Absolutely.
It's all about perspective.
Very good point. Judy, we're going to take another quick break. Now, when we come back, I would love for you to share with us your newly released book.
Thank you.
And let's talk about that and how that came about. And I'm sure that there would be an opportunity for us to also mentioned that you would love to speak in front of groups as well. So we'll come right
back
with more of Judy Blake.
Thank you.
How does your business survive in tight economic times? How do you identify your ideal clients and deliver a tight, clear message that displays your company's strength? What are the critical steps of a successful marketing campaign? Find out the answers to these and many more marketing questions at the next Perceptive Marketing Bootcamp. Learn how you can create and effectively deliver a strategic message that will make your business grow. Find out more at PerceptiveMarketing.com. Perceptive Marketing, more than a decade of smart, sharp solutions.
Ask yourself, are you achieving the results you really want from your networking? Would you benefit from learning a systemized approach to your networking? BizPAC and Defining Women Networks are dedicated to providing professionals and small business owners with networking solutions for today's marketplace. BizPAC Networks is where we connect B2B, business-to-business professionals in business. Defining Women Network is where we connect amazing women in business and in life. We invite you to build strategic alliances that will produce consistent leads and referrals. It's time for you to be defined and lead the pack. For more information, check out our website at www.bizpacnetworks.biz.
Welcome back. This is Linda Ballesteros, and my name, and I'm sorry, of course that's my name, Linda Ballesteros, but I'm here with my guest, Judy Blake. Before we start sharing with you some stories that are in her book, Judy's World, wanted to briefly let you know that if you have any questions, you can call 347-989-1363 and get into the queue to talk to Judy. I'm also on Facebook if you want to shoot me an instant message on Facebook. I will just a quick couple of things that are coming up this week. Tomorrow I'll be speaking at the Tomball ABWA chapter. And we will be, I'll be talking about mind bugs. Mind bugs are those things that keep us from being the best that we can be. So the ABWA chapter meeting will be at on August the 11th, that's tomorrow, from 6:30 to 8:30 at Nona's Grill, and that's in Tomball. The address is 1025 Alma Street. You would want to RSVP because it's $15 and a meal is included. So you'll need to RSVP to Lou Barron. Her email address is L, B as in boy, A-R-R-O-N, at sbcglobal.net. Again, that's L, Baron, at sbcglobal.net. So, Judy, share a little bit with us about how this book, Judy's World, came about.
I have been giving speeches in the Houston area for about 10 years, and just to different community groups, students, youth groups, and everyone always wanted to hear more. They loved the stories. They found them fascinating, and they kept saying, you need to write a book, you need to write a book. And I'm like, yeah, okay, sure. There's so many books out there, and what makes mine special? And then I thought to myself last year, mine is special because it's my story, and because I have this strong desire, this passion, this mission to help other families and to educate the public, the non-special needs public, about those with disabilities. And I thought, it's time to write a book. And it is now out. And the reason that I called it Judy's World is because I have a 501c3 called Ryan's World, in honor of my youngest son, Ryan. My goal is to raise funds, not to start another organization, not to start another program, but I want to help other programs that work with special needs kids and their families and augment what they do. They have the infrastructure. They have the manpower. I don't. So what I do is proceeds from the book are then donated to Ryan's World, which is then distributed to different organizations to help them work with families. Mm-hmm. And that is why I started the book as well, is to help my efforts in raising funds for the community, mm-hmm. but also to work and help people. And people kept saying, we'd love to hear you speak. Do you have anything you can show us, anything we can take back with us? And the book was born. And it has really been a labor of love.
Right.
And it's called Judy's World, The World of Autism Through the Eyes of a Mother.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am sure that you not only have been able to let other mothers know that they're not alone, but this had to be somewhat healing for you.
It is. It's cathartic in many ways, and it is. I agree with you. You know, when I was writing the book, and I took my speeches through all the years because I keep everything, and I would think to myself when I was expanding on something for a certain chapter, and I would think, oh, gosh, I remember that phase, you know. And, you know, typically the phases I remember are my oldest child used to walk up to people, and he was fascinated by the table of periodic elements. So he would walk up to people and say, what's your favorite periodic element? Some people would be like, what's a periodic element?
What? That's right.
And others would, of course, say gold or silver, because that was the only thing they could think of. And it'd be like this 9-year-old boy coming up to you and asking that question, and you sort of get that deer in the headlights look.
Sure.
With no eye contact, of course. So, and then there were other phases. You know, my youngest son is fascinated by commercials. He is an advertiser's dream. Because when he watches TV, and I'll be in the kitchen doing something, and he'll say, Mom, have you tried OxyClean? I'm like, where did that come from? And then I look at the TV, and sure enough, because I'm not paying attention, I'm into making my recipe. And I look at, and I said, you know, Ryan, I haven't tried that. It gets the stains out. So then I think, okay, maybe he could be a pitch man when he's older.
There you go.
So it's all of these different, you know, phases that they went through. And the book was very cathartic. It allowed me to reach out to people in a way that I couldn't through my speeches, because I could truly say what was on my mind at the time, talk about it as much as I want, And to me, the book complements the speeches. The speeches complement the book. The speeches are wonderful because you get to ask what you always wanted to ask. The book is wonderful because it gives you more information than the speeches.
Well, you were very wise to keep your speech notes because you said earlier that it had become sometimes, some days were just a blur. Well,
truly.
So if you hadn't kept your notes, it may not have triggered some of those memories, those moments that you could share.
That's exactly right. And they were very, very helpful. And then it was funny because at some point, I had to have an ending point for the book. But every day could have been a new chapter.
Right.
And it was funny because it's at one point I had to say, okay, I'll keep notes for the next book or the next speech, but I have to have an ending point. And I send it off, mm-hmm. and then something else happens, and I think, God, I'd love to add that to the book.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's always something. And that's with raising any child.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
with raising anyone. There's always something with kids because that's part of living.
Mm-hmm. So your book takes the boys up to what age?
Basically to my oldest son's finishing senior year in high school.
Okay.
And my youngest son in eighth grade.
Okay. So it
that's where it ends.
So it sounds like you could have another book waiting in the wings.
Exactly.
As an adult.
One never knows. Maybe in a few years when Ryan has finished high school and Jason has finished college.
Sure.
That's probably what I'm thinking of. On my website, I have a blog, and that will be a wonderful resource for me as well, along with speeches, because I share different anecdotes, different thoughts, feelings that I have, different observations, and the blog is also very, very cathartic. And
so if they want to get in touch with you, or let's first start with your website. What is your website, Judy?
www.judysworld.info, and that's JudysWorld.info.
Okay, and your book is available on that site as well, is that correct?
It is available on that site as well. If you're in the Houston area, I'm going to be approaching a few bookstores. It's hard to find a bookstore these days, and but there are a couple of bookstores that I'm going to be approaching, but for now it's on my website, and it will be on Amazon.
Very good, very good. And you say that your blog is on your website?
It is on my website, and people can also email me through the website, or my email address is Judy, J-U-D-Y, at judysworld.info.
Very good.
My audience are really anyone and everyone. You know, it's interesting because somebody had asked me, well, you know, my group, it's sort of the 70s group. You know, we're 70s, some of us are in our 80s. I said, great. You run into special needs people everywhere you go. Everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You may not know it. You may not realize it, but they are everywhere. So my speeches are really span across all generations, across all ethnicities, and they speak to everyone. You know, I always say, you know, if you don't have special needs now, eventually you will, or we all have special needs in some way. Your child may not have, you know, a formal diagnosis like mine, but take a child who's very shy. Take an adult who may not be diagnosed with an anxiety disorder, but they just get very, very anxious. To me, that's an issue they have to cope with every day. And those issues manifest themselves in different ways. You know, I know some.
There's one side of that where, such as yourself, you're a parent of autistic children. But as those children grow, they can become very functional and have somewhat normal lives, and then you need to know that they have bosses, they have managers, and the more educated we all are,
That's exactly right.
Educated, we're the better we're able to help that person to continue mm-hmm. to be live an independent life and mm-hmm. Be productive and be able to give towards society and support themselves. So there's a couple
Absolutely.
Of different reasons you would want to know more information about autism and the disabilities.
That's an excellent point. It really is. You know, it's not as though these kids graduate high school or college and all of a sudden, oh, there's a cure. Sure, there are kids who, with a lot of early intervention and help, you would never know anything as an adult. You would never know. But right. that's because they've been, you know, given those compensatory skills and it has helped them move mountains. Right. I want my children and everyone in this world to do all that they can do and be all that they can be.
Mm-hmm.
It is so important to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And but you have to give that person the tools to do it. And I think that with, you know, mental illness, I think that with autism and with other disabilities that you can't see on an X-ray or in a blood test, there tends to be this fear, if you will. And I always say to somebody when they say, oh, well, they can just fix that on their own. They can just do that on their own. Somebody who's anxious, oh, come on. And I say, if you were diabetic, God forbid, would you tell your body to start producing insulin? Of
right.
course not. You never would do that, nor should you. But when it's something that we can't see on an X-ray or in a blood test, that's what makes it so difficult, and we've come so far. And that's absolutely right, because, I mean, my son, my oldest son, he is so bright. He's so gifted, and he's an amazing young man. I am proud of him every single day. And I want him to be all he can be. And it's hard, because you don't want to walk around wearing a sign saying, my child is on the autistic spectrum, please understand.
Mm-hmm.
Or
right.
you don't want the child to walk around and saying, you know, I have OCD, could you bear with me?
Right.
But yet it's hard. You sometimes feel this need to justify. And with employers, that's exactly right. There are organizations that work with employers to place people with special needs. People with special needs who are employees are very devoted, dedicated, honest, punctual, and they're amazing workers. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they have special needs doesn't mean they can't add to this world. Everybody can do something. And I want to empower people. I want to empower parents to not have their head in the sand and for people to take that chance and maybe hire somebody that they wouldn't normally do. You know, we have diversity training in the workplace.
Yes.
We all talk about diversity work training. But typically, that's between male and female and cultures.
Absolutely.
Well, we need to have special needs diversity training. Because I promise you, special needs people are everywhere.
Right.
They are everywhere. I can spot it right away.
Mm-hmm.
It's so obvious to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people can't.
Absolutely, Judy. I just agree 100% with you on that. And there's so many ways that we can help to contribute to someone's independent living if we just give them a chance. Give them a chance.
That's what you have
Absolutely.
To do.
Absolutely. So we're going to take go ahead.
Go ahead. No, that's okay. Go ahead.
We're going to take a real quick break. And when we come back, I'd love for you to share with the listeners how they could get in touch with you about speaking engagements and some of the audiences that you would like to speak to. Right now, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Do you desire to increase productivity and income? Do you want to achieve your personal and professional goals? If so, then book Tony Harris at your next event to motivate and inspire your membership and employees to greatness one step at a time. Tony Harris is a dynamic, energetic, and passionate speaker that empowers and inspires her audiences to step outside of their comfort zone to make changes until they achieve success. To find out more about Tony or to book her for your next event, go to www.tonyharrisspeaks.com.
Ask yourself, are you achieving the results you really want from your networking? Would you benefit from learning a systemized approach to your networking? BizPack and Defining Women Networks are dedicated to providing professionals and small business owners with networking solutions for today's marketplace. BizPack Networks is where we connect B2B, business-to-business professionals in business. Defining Women Network is where we connect amazing women in business and in life. We invite you to build strategic alliances that will produce consistent leads and referrals. It's time for you to be defined and lead the pack. For more information, check out our website at www.bizpacknetworks.biz.
Welcome back. Linda Ballesteros here, and my guest is Judy Blake. We were talking about Judy's new book. It's called Judy's World. I wanted to let everyone know if they have a question for Judy, you can call 347-989-1363. Press 1 to ask Judy a question. I have received a question on Facebook. You can Facebook a question to me as well. If you are interested in being a guest on my show, please go to www.toughtalkradionetwork.com. And you'll see Power Talk with Linda Ballesteros, and there will be a guest registration form that you can complete and submit that, and my producer, Tony Gambone, will give you a call, and we'll be sure to put you on the calendar. So, Judy, the question that has come through on Facebook is, I heard she is going to be on Kingdom View TV. What is Kingdom View TV?
Thank you, and thank you to the Facebook writer. I appreciate that. Kingdom View is a wonderful, wonderful talk show led by the wonderful Michelle Harden, mm-hmm. and you can go to kingdomviewtelevision.com, and Michelle has a monthly talk show, and she also has her own radio show. She tries to connect through her listeners as well. And, yes, I am going to be a part of her show as well.
Great.
And she has just a wide range of topics about empowering your life, connecting with people, making the most of your life. And she's just a dynamic speaker. She has a heart of gold and is truly just a wonderful, wonderful lady. So, yes, I am going to be on Kingdom View September 17th. Her show is broadcast live at the Bayou City Event Center, and it is in Houston, Texas. Bayou City Event Center is like behind Sam's Club, 610 and Fannin, and that is where her show is broadcast. But you can go to, like I said, her website, kingdomviewtelevision.com, and she's also on Facebook, Michelle Harden, H-A-R-D-E-N.
Now, if
and
they
yes, I'm
to,
excited.
Participate, would they be able to come and watch the recording or watch?
Yes, they absolutely can. They absolutely can, and you can get on Michelle's email list, and
okay.
Absolutely, you sure can. And she will let you know when all of her shows are, and she has a radio show. She has her own website, and she is truly someone who wants to connect with as many people as possible, like you and I.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of connecting with, I know that you mentioned earlier that you like to connect with groups and you like to speak to groups to
mm-hmm.
educate them. What types of groups would you be interested in speaking to, Judy?
You know, it's funny that you should say that because on the one hand, it sounds so typical or boring to say, you know, anyone and everyone. But in many ways, special needs people do affect anyone and everyone. But as far as, you know, if I had to give an answer, I love to speak to parenting groups and grandparenting groups.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that being, grandparents, because they are a different generation, I have a harder time having them accept autism, anxiety, because a lot of those labels weren't around years ago.
Right.
You know, people used to think autism was caused by poor parenting, and mothers who were cold. They used to call them refrigerator mothers.
Oh, my.
Yes. Could you imagine the guilt a mother would have being told by a doctor?
Yeah.
Well, you weren't warm enough to your child. You didn't give them enough hugs and kisses and enough love, and you caused their autism. Can you imagine the guilt?
No, I can't.
And then we realized, I mean, thank God I didn't grow up then and have a child then with autism. And then they realized, wait a minute, this has nothing to do with it. So I do love to speak to grandparents, parenting groups, but I also love to speak to the youth. I was so honored. My youngest son just completed his freshman year at Bel Air High School. They have Disability Awareness Day, and I was one of the speakers. I was so honored to be able to talk to 300 students, and I talk about bullying, what makes us different, things that these kids can do that my kids can't do. And what I stress is, please do not feel sorry for me. That is not why I'm here. I don't want anyone's pity. I don't want their sympathy. And neither do my children. They just want understanding, patience, and compassion. And to try to be a friend. So I love to talk to the youth because I try to get them to make them think. And so
good.
I do a lot of interactive role playing. My speeches are different for the different age groups. It's all tailored to who the audience is. If it's the youth, I pretty much speak extemporaneously. I usually keep it to maybe 20, 25 minutes and then allow for questions. And I do a lot of role playing, interactive play with them because that's what's going to keep them engaged. And for adults, it's a little bit different. I tell them about the stories, the struggles as a parent, and the struggles that I've had in trying to explain the disorder to people that are in their 70s and 80s. Because, again, if you can't see it, unfortunately, we live in a society that where a book is judged by its cover.
It is. It is.
And I hate to say it.
Would you be interested in getting connected with maybe some corporate companies?
Absolutely.
Out there?
I welcome the opportunity. Welcome. And, you know, it's funny because I had to narrow it down. So I said, okay, let me choose a couple of groups.
Sure.
But, yes, corporate groups, exactly, because it's all about teaching tolerance in the workplace. And we have cultural diversity, but we need to also have, could you say, personality diversity?
Certainly.
And I'm just coining that term because for lack of a better word. But absolutely, because in the corporate world, I promise you, these people grew up and things just didn't go away. The traits just didn't go away. That is my eventual goal. I mean, if a corporation were to call me today and say we'd love to book you for our next diversity training, you better believe it, I'm there.
Absolutely.
And I think that's something that's going to be emerging. I don't know that we're there just yet. But I would certainly love to be the trailblazer and lead the way.
Absolutely. Judy, it looks like we may have a caller with a question. Let's
Thank
see.
You.
Is there a caller on the line?
Yes. Good morning. It's Tony Harris. How are y'all?
Good morning, Tony. Doing well.
Good morning, Tony.
Hi, Judy. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Tony?
Not well today, but I'm a live. I'm a live.
Oh, no. I hope you feel better.
Yeah, just come down with a little cold or something, but I'm going to be okay. I do have a question, and congratulations on releasing your book. That is awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
I know that's a long time coming for you. So
yes, it
my
is.
My question is about your oldest son is an adult now, right?
Yes, he is going to be 20 in October. He's a sophomore in college.
My son was an autistic. He had ADHD, but I'm wondering if you know of any programs that help adults who have some challenges.
I would first start off with a really, really good therapist, because when you say challenges, it's what are the challenges? And is the challenge ADHD?
Yes.
It is, okay.
Well,
part
of the problem is he doesn't want to own it, so that's also an issue. So we have to get past that as well. So, yeah.
Sure.
And I've you know. So him not owning it means that he doesn't, you know, I'm still working with him to see that he needs the help.
Right, and that's, I applaud you for doing that because it's not easy. I would recommend definitely taking him, obviously a doctor has tried to explain it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if the doctor hasn't helped, is he open to any kind of seeing a counselor, psychologist, social worker? Is he open to that at all?
He might be open to it, you know, and then the other problem is he doesn't have insurance because he doesn't have a job. And so, you know, financially. And so, you know, I was wondering if there were community-based programs that might be available.
What I would do is there's a it's a county agency, probably a state agency, and it's called DARS, D-A-R-S, and it stands for Department of Assistive and Rehabilitative Services. I believe that's what it stands for. And what they do is they try to pair up people with disabilities with employers. And if you look up www.dars.state.texas.us or .tx, and that would be a good place to start.
Okay.
Because, number one, if he has a job, he will start to feel better about himself.
Exactly.
Everybody has to find purpose in this world, and everybody can. It's just very, very difficult. Is he open to taking medication?
No, not really.
Not really.
He has to get open to it, though, if they're going to help him. Because I did.
Exactly. Again, it's the analogy that I gave with, if God forbid he was diabetic, would he expect his body to produce insulin?
Right.
And I'm not a pill pusher by any means, but God created these medications for a reason, and they make the night and day difference.
Right.
I do know where
it does make a night and day difference.
It does, and I
point. That's a very good point, lady. Yeah, absolutely. And I know that we could take this into another hour if we could.
Yes, we could.
I know that there's so many people out there that could certainly benefit from what Judy has been through. So I would suggest that all of our listeners check out her website. And Ms. Toni Harris, thank you so much for calling in.
But I would check out that website to begin with.
Yeah.
That might help.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Toni.
So Judy's website again is judysworld.info. And you can contact Judy at judy@judysworld.info. I always ask my guests, I ask them to supply me with a quote. Judy's was very short and simple. It is what it is. And I'm sure that there were many days that that's the only thing that was able to get you through, Judy. And I really appreciate you coming in on my show and sharing this. I had found
it is my pleasure.
Absolutely. So I found a quote, and I always like to find something that kind of parallels or supports my guest quote. And the one that I found is, accept the things of which fate binds you and love the people with whom fate brings you together, but do so with all your heart. And I believe that's what you've done, Judy. You showed us that no matter how difficult it has been, you did it with all your heart and with the heart of a loving mother. So I want to end the show today and encourage everyone to contact Judy at judy@judysworld.info, her website, www.judysworld.info. And if you have any questions for me, my email address is lobayesteros@sbcglobal.net. That's lobayesteros@sbcglobal.net. So good day, folks, and we'll see you this time next week. Thanks.
You have been listening to Power Talk with Linda Ballesteros. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you would like to be a sponsor or a guest or find out information on how to become a host, please go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.